Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and today we have the great fortune of being joined by David A. Jensen, a member of the 1984 Olympic team, as well as an NHL player. Hey, David, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Harry. It's my pleasure.
There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I wanted to start off with, I know that you and I have had conversations before, that you've been the beneficiary of some great American coaching over the course of time, and as we all know, we just lost one of the giants in the game with the passing of Tim Taylor. I wanted to get some of your thoughts just about Coach Taylor, how you knew him, and what he meant to you and what he meant to the sport of hockey in the United States.
Well, Timmy Till was a giant. He means everything to me. In 1984, when I made the Olympic team, I was a 17-year-old kid entering my senior year of high school in that summer. And Timmy, along with, you know, Louis Vero, they were mentors to guys like myself and Pat LaFontaine, Eddie Olczyk, and L.A. Afraidy. We were the younger kids on the team, and Timmy was such a great role model for us, and he was the nicest gentleman, classiest guy you'd want to know, and probably one of the most knowledgeable hockey minds the USA Hockey has ever had, the benefit of having. I would put him right there with, I played for Badger Bob in the 84 Canada Cup, tremendous, Badger Bob Johnson, Dave Peterson, I had the good fortune of playing with, and Louis Vero. Those four guys meant more to me than anything in USA Hockey, and he was just a giant. The man was, it's a great loss for all of us. I had the good fortune of seeing Timmy last October in Dallas, Harry, where you were at too with Eddie Olczyk's induction into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, and it was great to be able to see Timmy. You know, at that point in time, I didn't know how ill he was, but it was great to catch up with Timmy, with Patty, and he meant so much to me. I'll respect and I'll be forever grateful to Timmy for how he impacted my life.
No doubt. Well, hey, let me ask you, the 1984 Olympics, and I know it's been a while, but can you just talk a little bit about, for people who maybe don't know that much about it, I mean, it was a tough act for you guys to follow, following the 1980 team. How was that for you as a player? Did that ever cross your mind, or what was your thoughts heading into the Olympics in Sarajevo?
Well, you know, it was a different world back then, Harry. I forget how many games we played, but I think it was close to 70 in an exhibition tour, and we played quite a few NHL teams. We played the Russians 12 times, Team Canada 12 times, the Swedish, the Finnish national teams. So it was a very long pre-Olympic tour, so to speak. We started, I believe it was early August, and we ended that season in late February after the Olympics, and I think I was home for 3 days, you know, at Christmas time, so it was a very, you know, it was a long tour. I think Louis Vero and the staff did a great job. We had a tremendous preseason. I think we beat the Russians in that series, which no American team had ever done. It was phenomenal. As a young kid, you know, the pressure's always on, but they were very good, Louis, Timmy, of keeping us sort of grounded, us young kids, and, you know, focused on the goal. I just think that, you know, again, we had the most successful pre-Olympic tour to date, but when you get in the tournament, we had a few guys banged up. I know Chelos had a major injury. Patty was sick. You know, I was coming off a slight knee injury into the Olympics, but we, you know, it's all time when you come down to a tournament. And we had to beat Canada that first game, and we were down by a goal, and unfortunately, I think that was the key to us not advancing to the medal round. And back then also, only the top two teams from each pool advanced to the medal round. And I think they changed in 88 to, you know, sort of a quarterfinal type of format where the top four teams. So, you know, it was a great season. As far as not advancing to the medal round was disappointing. But, you know, as far as my growth as a hockey player and as a person, that was the most exciting. It was the best year of my life. It really molded me as not just a young hockey player, but it was a young man with the core values that were instilled in us with Louis Vero, Tim Taylor, Dave Peterson, you know, Dougie Woog, Bob O'Connor, it goes on and on. We had a great support cast there. It was just a tremendous experience.
You also had the good fortune of playing on what's arguably one of the best lines ever in American hockey history, the diaper line with Eddie Olczyk and Pat LaFontaine. Can you talk a little bit about the friendships that were developed there? Because like you said, you know, you guys have been there for each other, and you were there last year to support Eddie as he went into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a very special bond relationship we have. You know, again, we were just kids. Eddie was, Eddie was almost a year younger than me. Patty was 6 months older, so we were 17, 18. But we became family during that tour. You know, when you're with a guy for 7 months like that, and you're up against the pressures and the growth that we had to experience there, it's a bond, I think, like no other, that Olympic tour. And tremendous hockey players. I think we all complimented each other very well. I think Louis puts it best as far as what we could do individually as players and collectively as a line. You know, Patty, you know, who's a Hall of Famer, obviously, in the NHL and in USA Hockey, you know, it's one of his greatest experiences he talks about. We're still very close, consider ourselves best friends to this day, almost 30 years later. You know, it's just the experience, the relationship that we have is just, you can't even put it into words. It's something that you have to experience with an individual and go through a bond to be able to create that. But it's very, very special. You know, I think more of those guys as people as they are hockey players. You know, Patty LaFontaine taught me something a long time ago. You know, he always said, it's not, you know, when I meet my maker, he's not going to ask me how many goals and assists I had and what kind of hockey awards I got. He's going to ask me, what did you do with your life? How did you make a difference in other people's lives? And that's it's truly what it's all about. It's giving back, and it's those type of core values that were instilled in me that I think have benefited me most from playing at a high-level hockey with guys like that.
Well, you know, David, that is a perfect segue into what I really wanted to talk about today, and that is your role in youth hockey today in the state of Massachusetts. I know you're a beneficiary of some outstanding coaching growing up, and now you're trying to give back to the kids in Massachusetts every day with development. I wanted to just get a sense from you of where you think hockey in the great state of Massachusetts is right now.
Well, I think it's a lot different from 40 years ago or 30 years ago when guys like myself and Carpenter were coming out of this area. And, you know, a few years later, Tony Amonte, Roenick and Kachuk and all those guys. You know, I think the model's a little different. And I've had the good fortune of working with some great people in this area who are trying to change the model back to what it used to be, which is falls in line with the ADM model, the American Developmental Model. You know, I'm very close with Roger Grillo. I believe, you know, in everything that USA Hockey is trying to do. I also believe that I grew up as an ADM kid before it was ever even created. You know, growing up at hockey in Needham, we used to do the cross-ice games, and the coaches were goalies with, you know, their shoes as nets. And, you know, everybody thought it was great. Even the parents, us kids, we didn't know we weren't playing a real game. We thought it was a real game. And it allowed us to touch the puck. It allowed us, you know, to develop as hockey players, and we had fun. That's what we did. We practiced our skills, and we had fun. You know, it took us, in my opinion, that kept us in the game. If you talk to people today in this area, you know, the kids that sign up at that young age group, 50% of them are quitting hockey by the age of 10. And I think that's based on the model that's developed here, and that is just more games, full ice games, and then I think you get in a situation where, you know, have the kids who have been skating that since they were 3 or 4, they're playing a lot of hockey, you can skate. You got the kids who are just coming into it who have the puck, you know, for 90% of the time. And the young kids who are getting up early in the morning who just beginning the game, they don't touch the puck, and it's no fun. So it's no surprise that 60% of the kids would be quitting. But I think it's just egregious, because how many great hockey players are we losing? Because that's the entry level into USA Hockey or around this area in Massachusetts. We're losing just potentially great hockey players and, you know, growth in our sport. So that kind of distresses me a little bit. You know, I've worked and the ADM guys went a month or two ago, and they do a great job. They have a great video that they bring to the youth organization here that shows, you know, displays what the model should be and how we should be developing those kids. And I'm a big supporter of that, and I'm happy. And I've told Roger, and I go with him to these seminars, and and Kevin Kavanaugh, who's involved in mass hockey here. That's how I want to get back. I think the model's there. I think the kids don't practice enough on their skills, just like USA Hockey talks about, and there's too many games. The game-to-practice ratio out here is probably 70-80% games and 20-30% practice and skills. I mean, quality practice. It should be the reverse. That's what it was when I grew up, and it's not that way today. So that's unfortunate, and that's why, you know, we're developing what I think is the greatest benefit to these kids from Mite Hockey right up to the junior hockey, the skill center, that in a fun, interactive way allows them to develop the proper mechanics of shooting, stick handling, skating, and really even pond hockey. We have a synthetic ice rink where we do Swedish floorball, which allows the kids to do what we used to do, you know, almost 24/7. Have fun neighborhood games with street hockey and learn our creativity skills without coaches yelling at us, you know, you can't make that play or that or this play. It's just a great atmosphere, and we're having very positive results in the last 3 months since we opened up.
Well, like you said, David, you've got the David A. Jensen Skills Training Academy, and where is that located exactly?
We're located at the Foxborough Sports Center in Foxborough, Mass. It's the home to the South Shore Kings, and if you want to check out the website is dajskills.com.
Absolutely. You've got a lot of great hockey players growing that you grew up with and played with and, you know, are still in Massachusetts. Do you have a lot of support from some of those guys maybe come out to the Skills Center and help out?
I do. We actually have a great support network here, and we have special guest appearances by great players. Patty LaFontaine's in Boston quite a bit, so Patty would be making some guest appearances. Bobby Carpenter, you know, he'll be working with us on the NHL alumni camps, too. Got Ricky Middleton, who's a legend out here. Terry O'Reilly, who's a legend. Brian Leach, who's another legend who works in the area here. Well, lives in the area, and I had the good fortune of playing with Brian a couple weeks ago and benefit for the Children's Hospital here, where we raised $300,000 for Boston Children's Hospital NHL alumni tournament. So we have a great cast of characters here who love this, who want to support this, who want to see growth and change in the game from the skills development, see these kids get more fun, interactive skills training.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Skills Academy in terms of, like, is it kind of like a hockey school? You go for a week, and, I mean, what would a typical day be like or a typical week be like at the Skills Academy?
Well, this is what we're doing, Harry. We've set it up during the season, usually for the 26 to 30 weeks that is the hockey season now, and it boggles my mind because it was probably like, you know, 12 to 16 weeks when I was a kid, but now it's a six-month hockey season for the youth hockey programs. So during the season, we're working with local groups here and doing team skills training sessions because we think, you know, we get them in an isolated area. We really work with them on their mechanics. So, you know, for instance, we have a local program here, North Alabama, who's close to here, who has Mike through Bantam. Each team will come in for an hour each week, and we have a progression. We start in September, and we'll end at the end of the season on their shooting, their skating, their stick handling. And it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal aspect of training. That's our on-season type of schedule, and we're probably doing about 35 to 40 hours a week of that with the support of other NHL alumni and former USA hockey players. That will be on-season. During the off-season, we've created memberships for kids, which I think is phenomenal. So when we talk about fun interactive, we have the kids come in, and again, they use the facility for shooting, skating, and stick handling, and we teach them, we instruct them, you know, in a fun, interactive way, so you don't get that chore-like atmosphere where you get the burnout, but the kids love it. I have kids coming in here, they beg their parents to come back. We use the rapid shot system, which is phenomenal. If anybody has a chance to go on our website and see the rapid shot, it's the ultimate batting cage for hockey, and the kids love it. It's, you know, it keeps a database of their progression and their scores, from their speed, the velocity on their shots, to their hit ratio, their accuracy, and their release times. Absolutely phenomenal machine. So that's what we do in the off-season. We have all sorts of options for memberships, from, you know, monthly to instructional to whatever parents can afford. And I'm happy to work with parents who are underprivileged as well, you know, to help those kids get in here you know, develop their skills and love the game of hockey.
How does that differ from what you're doing with the NHL alumni camps? Because it sounds like this, between the Skills Training Academy and the alumni camps, must keep you extremely busy.
It does, it does. And that's where the support, if you go on my website, you'll see all the, you know, all the support characters that I have involved in this, former great hockey players, NHL alumni, or again, USA Hockey, a lot of them play in the Olympics as well, and on national teams. You know, we have a great support of guys who are knowledgeable and know the game, who have the same philosophy that we do and the same passion for the game to help kids, you know, develop and instill in them the core values that I spoke about that were instilled in me from my great mentors with USA Hockey. The alumni camps, their week-long camps were, you know, we're in Marlborough, we're in Foxborough, we're in Quincy, and we're in Denham right now. So it's a week-long camps, and again, each day, we have, you know, special appearances and skills directors like Ricky Middleton, Bobby Carpenter, same guys, Terry O'Reilly, you know, we got Andy Brickley, Teddy Donato, you know, the list goes on and on. Scotty Young, who's another legend with USA Hockey, Sean McEachran. So everybody in this area who has really gotten to that next level loves it and wants to be a part of it. And that's the same thing when we do in our summer camps. We introduce these kids, you know, it's skills training and fun, interactive hockey skills training with these kids. Also, you know, we talked to them about the core values and the life lessons we have learned in the game of hockey. And, you know, it's great to try to educate the parents for age-appropriate type of hockey, you know, in line with the ADM model.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, everybody out there, once again, the David A. Jensen Skills Training Academy, you can go to the website, which is DAJSKILLZ.com, and you can go to the NHL alumni camps, which is NHLAHockeyCamps.com. Both are awesome, awesome things, and get to be around some people who played at the top levels of the game. Hey, David, thank you very much for taking the time to join us, and wish you nothing but the best of success with both the Skills Training Academy and the NHL alumni camps.
I appreciate it, Harry. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and tune in again for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Mm-hmm.